face challenges in life. Some of them are small, some of them are bigger than others. We're looking today at our hero named Joshua. Can you imagine the challenges that Joshua must have faced? He had to take over for Moses, who was their leader for 40 years. In fact, the Israelites, that was the only leader they knew. And then the scripture says, Moses has died. Joshua, you're in charge. That had to be an incredible challenge. That would be like somebody taking over Warren Buffett's investment portfolio. That'd be like somebody trying to take over Mother Teresa's ministry in India, or the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, or that would be like trying to follow Joe Paterno, who's been the coach at Penn State for 45 years. We all face challenges in life. In fact, right now, do you think about some of the challenges that I'm facing? I have to follow Danny's song, and I have to preach. You know what I mean? I love him. He's great. The key, I'm convinced, if I can get some dimple surgery, I'm ready for the big time. I'm ready for the big time. So I love him. I love his energy. So, but that's a challenge. You see, man, what's following that? All right? We all face challenges in life. And today we're going to look at Joshua, and we're going to see some of the challenges that he had to work through in order to have God's blessing on his life. And so no matter what challenge you have, it might be financial, it might be relational, it might be medical, I want us to be able to take that and turn it over to God and say, God, help me. If you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 1. And it begins with the second verse. The first key is Joshua said, be prepared. God said, Joshua, be prepared. Why? Because you must understand the challenge that's before you. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River. You say, but wait a minute, Pastor Don, why in the world do we always need to be prepared? Because you never know when God will ask you to step out in faith. And if you're not prepared when God asks you to do something, you're back to what Moses was last week. We make all kinds of excuses of why God can't use us. Well, God, I had no idea you're going to ask me to do that. God, so on and so on. What kind of preparation do you need? For some of us, it might be more education. For some of us, it might be more experience. But I think for most of us, as followers of Jesus Christ, probably what we need is more faith. We need more faith to simply trust God. You see, Joshua had observed Moses for 40 years. Now, I want you to understand the leadership challenge that was needed. For 40 years in the wilderness, God provided everything. It's almost as if the Israelites were on welfare. They didn't have to work for their food. They didn't have to worry about protection. They didn't have to worry about guidance. He said, I have a pillar of cloud to guide you by day and a pillar of fire to guide you by night. Every need that they had was met by God for 40 years. Joshua takes over. They go into the promised land day one. No more food. You got to find your own food. No more security. You got to fight your own battles. No more guidance. You have to trust me to know where to go the next time. It was a totally different style of leadership that was required. Andy Stanley, the pastor of a church in Georgia, has said, to reach people no one else is reaching, we've got to do things no one else is doing. And that's why Paul's starting a church in a couple months to a restaurant church combination to try and reach people that would never go to church. 85% of people in this valley don't go to church on a consistent basis. They believe the church is boring, dead, and irrelevant. So we can't always do what we've been doing. Even though God is blessing our ministry, we have to continually ask ourselves, how do we reevaluate and accept the challenge before us to reach people that have given up on church? It's going to take a new leadership. Face a challenge, first things, be prepared. Secondly, be strategic. Be strategic if you're facing a challenge and utilize partnerships. Bible says in verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In other words, if you're facing a challenge today, don't face life's challenges alone. You see, if we're not careful, most of us in our culture today, we begin how? We begin life dependent. As little kids, we're dependent upon our parents to take care of us and meet our need, change our diapers, feed us, so on, so on, so on. And we really believe, as Americans, the key is to move from what? Dependency to becoming independent. I want to call my own shots. I want to do my own thing. But you know what? I'm convinced more and more the key to maturity is not moving from dependency to independency, but it's moving from independency to interdependency. God didn't create us to go through life alone. That's why people in relationships live longer and they are healthy. Statistics say that. We need each other. I want to ask you, for the challenges you're facing, who are the partnerships in your life? Who's the mentor? Who's the prayer partner? Who's the encourager? What neighborhood group are you in where the people are looking out for you and encouraging you? Are you seeking and sensing God's presence in your life? Be strategic. Don't go through challenges alone. Number three, be courageous. Face up to your fears. Three times here in the first chapter of Joshua, he says in verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. The word strong is the same word strength, and it means twisted together. That's the Greek meaning. What are you talking about? Don't think of strength as one strand. Think of it as a rope that is twisted together. And so many times in the Bible it says what? Be strong in the Lord. In other words, if we're twisted together with the Lord, His strength and our strength works together. And that's how we can take courage and face up to our fears. Every new challenge requires courage. Somebody sent me this. It said, you know it's going to be a bad day when your boss tells you don't bother taking off your coat or sitting down. You know it's going to be a bad day when your car horn gets stuck and you're following a group of Hell's Angels. You know it's going to be a bad day when you put both contact lenses in the same eye. Or I like this one. You know it's going to be a bad day when you call suicide prevention and they put you on hold. Over 300 times in the Bible it says, fear not. Take courage. Be strong and have courage and face up to your fears. Do not be afraid. The Bible says it over and over and over. Many years ago, an ad appeared in the London Times. It said this: men wanted for hazardous journey, low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness, safe return doubtful. If you survive, you will receive honor and recognition. The ad was signed by Ernest Shackleton. He was looking for a crew to help discover the South Pole. Why would anybody sign up for that? The next morning, 5,000 men were standing in line waiting to sign up. Why? People love great challenges. This church loves great challenges. Joshua loved great challenges, but challenging times require great leadership. I want to say to you, are you a person of courage in the challenges that you're facing? Former Diamondbacks pitcher Curt Schilling also pitched in 2005 for the Boston Red Sox in the World Series. And if you remember back a few years ago to that picture of blood all over his sock, he had hurt himself on his ankle, and he was pitching with blood, and everybody was making, how in the world can he do that? And he says this, quote, so few people find out what they're really capable of because they never push their limits. They're too busy thinking about the odds. They're comfortable with mediocrity, end of quote. Do you realize that 90% of people who fail were never defeated? They simply quit. They gave up. 90% of the people that fail, it's not because somebody defeated them. They simply gave up and threw in the towel and quit. That's why I believe one of the keys to overcoming discouragement is to stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. Stop listening to yourself and start talking. I can tell by the look on your face, you say, well, that is so profound, I don't have a clue what you're talking about, all right? Stop listening and start talking. Every morning, most of us get up and these thoughts come to us every morning. We start listening to these things, whether we realize it or not. They come from everywhere. You look in the mirror and you go, my gosh, I've got more hair growing out of my ears and my nose than out of my head. Or you go, no wonder I put makeup on. I had no idea I looked like this during the day. All right? Or you keep listening to all of these things. You hear these thoughts. Instead, you need to start talking to yourself and saying what? I'm a child of God. I'm special. God's more concerned about my inward heart than the world's outward beauty. I have a brother-in-law And his wife says she has caught him for years when he gets up, standing in front of the mirror, and here's what she hears him say as she's in the other room. He says, "I know I'm not handsome, but what's my opinion against thousands of others?" That's what he says. And he says that over and over and over. I've seen him. He's not that handsome, okay? But he's convinced her he is, because he's convinced himself he is. Oh, that's a great line. If you want to overcome discouragement, some of you are listening to thoughts from the devil that he's put in your mind that telling you you're damaged goods, you're no good, there's no future in your life, and you need to stop listening to that, and you need to start talking to yourself and remember the promises of God and face up to your challenges with courage, because you're special. God has a plan and purpose for you, and you're a hero that God wants to use today to change culture and change the people around you. So be courageous. Step up to your fears. Number four, be careful. Be careful, don't get sidetracked. Verse 7, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. You know, when you're going through challenges in life, it's so easy to get sidetracked. It's so easy to what? To get distracted. It is so easy to lose focus. Three things it says here. Number one, it says what? Be careful. Be careful. When you hear be careful, it's a warning about upcoming danger. We do it all the time to our kids, don't we? Be careful, don't go out in the street. Be careful, don't touch that, that's hot. Be careful, you're going to slam your finger in the door. Be careful. For some of us that are going through challenges, if we're not careful, we make compromises morally. We make bad choices. And when you're going through challenges, God says to you, listen, be careful. There's danger for what you're thinking right now. Secondly, he says what? Obey all the law. Circle the word there, all, would you? Because you see, most of us like partial obedience. As we said a couple weeks ago, partial obedience is disobedience. If your kids mind you 7 out of 10 times, do you say 70%? That's pretty good, kids. No. You'd say, why are you disobeying me? And if we're not careful, we kind of like to compromise God's law instead of obeying God's law. Because you see, we bought into this mentality, I think, as believers, that we're not that bad. Compared to who? Other people. That's called what? Grading on the curve. And I don't know about you, but grading on the curve helped me, because that means none of the grades we're very good, and so we're going to take the best of the worst, and that is our standard from there. No, we can't grade on the curve, because the standard is not other people. The standard is Jesus Christ. See? And so we can always find somebody else to compare ourselves to, but instead, we need to what? We need to obey all the law. He says also, thirdly, don't turn from the left or the right. Don't waver. Don't be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. This was written to the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. I know your deeds, that they are neither hot or cold. I wish they were one or the other. But because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. The word picture there is vomit. That's what it is. And God says, when you're for me one day and you're against me the next day, I just want to throw up. You make me sick to my stomach because I don't know where you are. That would be like being married to somebody and one day they say to you, I love you, our marriage is so great, I will be with you forever. And the next day they get up and say, I think I'm leaving, I don't even like you at all. And you go, where did that come from? Are you in or are you out? You'd want to throw up. God's the same way with us. When we vacillate, We must be obedient. We must what? Be careful not to turn to the left or the right. Don't be lukewarm. Why? So you can be successful wherever you go. You see, you don't pay the price for success. You enjoy the benefits of success. You don't pay the price. You enjoy the benefits. People say, oh man, the price I've had to pay for success? No, no, no. If you're successful, think of the benefits you have because you're successful. Or let me change the word from success and write the word obedience in there. You don't pay the price for obedience. You enjoy the benefits of obedience. Think how many people believe that when you become a Christian, you can't have fun anymore. And if I become a Christian, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that. Man, if I obey the word of God, I'll have to pay the price. I won't have fun anymore. Wrong. If you obey God's word, think of the benefits of life. Your kids will grow up and serve Jesus. They'll marry Christian spouses. You'll have Christian grandkids. The obedience factor and the payoff is unbelievable. Obedience to God's way will lead to success. How else do you think Joshua could have been successful in battle? He defeated over 30 kings. His first battle, he comes across the Jordan River into the Promised Land, and he has to take on Jericho. Jericho is a walled city, one of the oldest cities in the world. And he's a warrior. And here's what God's battle plan to a warrior. Get all your people on the first day. On Monday, I want you to march around the walls once and go back to the camp. Wow. Day two, get up and march around the walls and go back to your camp. Woo! 6 days. Once time for 6 days. Day seven, here's the big deal. Joshua, we're going to march around 7 times. Blow your horns real loud. The walls are going to fall in and you can go get them. You're a warrior and you got that battle plan. What would you do? You'd say, Lord, I think there's a different way we can scale the wall. We can burn the place down. No. Joshua obeyed God completely. And because he obeyed, God gave him success. Be careful. Don't get sidetracked. Number five, be intentional. If you're facing challenges, be intentional. Stay in the Word of God. Stay close to the Word of God. Verse 8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I look at the outline there, and there's three words that I want you to, as I look at being intentional. Number one, I think, is awareness. Awareness. And I think today, gang, we've got to be aware. How do you be aware? It says, don't let the book of the law. What's the book of the law? It's the first 5 books of the Old Testament. When we talk about the law, to a Jew, it was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That would have been the law. That's what they would have memorized and studied. And so he said, don't let that out of your mouth, out of your mind. Be aware of God. That's where I think we mess up right off the bat. We're not aware of what's going on today. Most of us don't have a biblical worldview. And so when we look around, if we're not careful as the church, we say, things aren't that bad. Really? Then go rent a movie from 15 years ago and watch it. It's like Zig Ziglar used to say years ago, how do you cook an elephant? Or how do you cook a frog? Excuse me. How do you cook a frog? You don't put him in boiling hot water, he'll jump out. You put him in lukewarm water and you turn the temperature up 1 degree at a time and it slowly gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and because it's not drastic, he will stay in there and literally be cooked alive. Church, that's our danger. We look around and we say things haven't changed that much compared to what? Be aware of what's going on. In my opinion, it's the greatest time for the church, because as we look around at the values in our culture today, everybody's moving farther and farther away from God, and we got to be aware of that. Second thing would be what? Application. It says what? Don't let the word of God out of your thoughts, out of your mind. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate means I got to take it and I got to apply it to my life. As I look around and see the culture, I say, what would Jesus do? That's how do I apply this if I'm a businessman or a businesswoman, if I'm a stay-at-home mom, if I'm a student? How do I apply the Word of God? God, what, Jesus, what would you do? So I've got to be aware of it. Then I've got to apply it. Then thirdly is action. He says what? Do what it says. In other words, going from one Bible study to the next does not get success. You just know more. Pretty soon, you have to do something with what you have received from God. Be intentional. Stay in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, Ezra chapter 7, it says, the gracious hand of God was on Ezra, for he had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. It's the same thing. He's aware of it. He's applying it. He's teaching it. He's doing it. It says what? The gracious hand of God was on him. That means God's blessing was on his life. Just recently, a study has come out. It's called Reveal. And a study came out of Chicago that they surveyed thousands of Christians and hundreds of churches. And they tried to ask the question, what does it take to become a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ? Is it prayer? Is it journaling? Is it fasting? Is it Bible reading? What is it? And they found out that all of these things were necessary in becoming like Christ. But there was one thing that jumped out consistently higher than everything else. You know what it was? Reading the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. How intentional are you on reading the Word of God? I got to confess, I'm very intentional of reading the Word of God to prepare for sermons. I read it a lot. But because of that, if I'm not careful, I don't intentionally read the Word of God for what God wants to say to me personally. I was thinking back when I was a kid. Isn't it interesting? We had very few Christian books. We had no Christian TV, no Christian radio, and a lot of people followed Jesus. Now we have a bookstore. There's nothing wrong with Christian books. Do not misunderstand what I'm saying. I want to challenge you to read the Bible as much as you read Christian books. And if you have to choose one or the other, choose the Bible. I think today most of us as believers don't spend enough time in the Word of God. We are not intentional on reading God's Word. Number six, you're facing a challenge. Be confident. Why? God is on your side. Verse 9, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord our God will be with you wherever you go. Wow, that's what he's saying. He's saying, don't be scared to death, don't be terrified, don't be timid. God says, I will be with you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ in America today is too timid. We are wimping out because we've given in to tolerance. I didn't have this in my message last night, and it hit me right at this point, last service. And I get in trouble because if I think it's the God or the devil, I'm going to share that, and I haven't fought it, I'm going to get in trouble. So I might get in trouble for this, but I still shared it the first service. You know what I was thinking about all week? I came that close to calling media outlets and say, we're going to burn Bibles at CCV this Saturday. I'm serious. Because you know what? Isn't it interesting? The outcry, the president, the general, everybody is getting upset about a pastor that's going to burn a Quran in Florida. Listen carefully. I'm not for burning a Quran. But I wanted to try and make a point because I really believe if I called the media outlets and said, we're going to burn a Bible at CCV this Saturday, very few coverage or outcry we would have had from any place around the world. Why? Because we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, if we're not careful, we have wimped out and we're timid, and we need to have more confidence because God is on our side. Now, how do you get confidence? How do you get confidence? Well, you see God work over and over. You keep a prayer list, so when you see God answer your prayers, you go, whoa, he does answer prayers. You read the Bible, and you see his promise never to forsake you or leave you. I want you to see how God worked. Remember Moses? He was the guy last week that gave all those excuses of why, God, I'm not your man, but he still went. And as he's leading the 2 million Israelites out of Egypt, what happens? They come to the Red Sea, and they look behind us, and the army is going to kill them. And no doubt Moses said, God, you brought me out here to die? And God says, relax. I'll take care of you. And he did what? He parted the Red Sea, and they went by on dry land, and the enemy was defeated. 40 years later, Joshua, he saw that. He's in charge. God says, Joshua, I was with Moses. I'll be with you. And he goes, right. What's the first thing that happened? They came to the Jordan River. It was flood stage out of its banks. And the first thing he did was what? He parted the Jordan River and backed up the water so that all of the Israelites could cross over the flooded Jordan River to safety. The same thing he did for Moses 40 years ago. Now, the good news today is you can live with confidence. Why? What God did for Moses and Joshua, God will do for you. Oh, he might not back the water up, but he will answer your prayer if you will ask him. God wants to be involved in our lives to help us make a difference. So I want to ask you, what challenge are you facing? What challenge are you facing today that's scaring you to death? What challenge are you facing that you're afraid to partner with God because you really believe it's too big and God can't handle this? If God can protect 2 million Israelites, God's big enough to take care of your problem and your problem and your problem and my problem. So let's not be afraid to turn it over to Him. As we're talking this week about honoring our law enforcement men and women, they have to deal with risk every day. And they have to be confident as well. And where's their trust? Well, it can be in their equipment, but ultimately our prayer is that every officer would put their trust in God, who's looking after them. I want you to listen to this story of one of our own law enforcement, Steve Campbell, and he shares about some changes that he's made in his life as he had to put his confidence in God. Listen to his story.
Hi, my name is Steve Campbell, and I've been coming to CCV for about 8 years now. I haven't always accepted Christ, and I've had a lot of doubts over my years of really what to believe. I've spent 29 years in law enforcement, and I've worked my way up through as an officer, a sergeant, lieutenant, commander, and now serve as a deputy director for a large agency. I was very blessed with a great family, very successful career in moving up through the organization, but always felt that there was something missing. I couldn't really put my hand on it. And one day, one of my friends came to me and said, well, I'll go to CCV if you will. And it was kind of on a dare. In May of 2004, my wife and I were baptized. It was the first huge step of accepting Christ into my life. When I first became a police officer, I had very specific goals when I entered into the police academy, and I knew where I wanted to be at the end of 32 years. That plan changed, you know, as a result of me finding Christ and attending here at CCV. I got to know a lot of different perspectives of the church. Since coming to CCV, it has opened so many doors of opportunities that I really probably would not have recognized or seen. Being a part of the ushering group, serving there and serving on the safety and security team is, you know, has enabled me to assist other people who have come to your CCV looking for those answers, much like I did, not knowing where they were in life. And to be able to offer an opportunity and a perspective that CCV has opened the doors for me to enrich my life, enrich my family's life. And I just continue to look for new opportunities to be able to do the same for others when they're out there trying to find where they are in life. If I could offer one piece of advice to those who are new to the career of law enforcement, be willing to take a risk and step out and accept Christ. I know it's hard. We're used to dealing with just the facts, show me the pictures, and it's hard to get our arms around the concept, you know, that God is really with us everywhere we go. Having Christ in your life only is going to help strengthen your marriage and having you be a part of your kids' lives and guiding them to what God really wants us to be a part of and what His kingdom is really wants us to be. People look up to our trade as we should be setting the example. And what a great way to have testimony in the fact that you have Christ in your life and that you live by those standards and those principles that God wants us to live by. Having found Christ and realizing that His leadership is so paramount in our everyday lives, we need to be prepared for those times when He's asking us to step out and take a risk in our lives, no matter where we are and how it is. But realizing that our faith has to lie with Him and knowing that He will get us through no matter what if we believe in Him.
What risk are you facing? What challenges are you facing? I have a challenge that I face, and that's forgiving. It's forgiving Steve. Some of you may have heard me share this several months ago, but a while back, Steve was the head of security at Sky Harbor Airport. And myself and two elders were flying to Kansas City to speak to a bunch of churches and encourage them. And so I arrive at the airport, we're standing in line, getting ready to get on the plane. All of a sudden, a uniformed officer and a canine unit, they start coming in our line. They go back and forth, and they come back and stop at me. And the officer says, is your name Don Wilson? I said, yes, it is. He said, do you travel internationally? And I said, yes, I do. He said, we've been watching you since you came on the airport today, and I need to see some ID. And I showed him some ID, and about that time, I'm needing a very quick bathroom break to shoot straight with you, all right? And it's getting pretty tense. And then he says, I think we're going to have to take you downstairs and ask you some more questions. And what I did not know was that Bob Johnson, who is on our staff heading up our security, Bob drove me to the airport that day to fly out of town, and he and Steve were good friends, and so he told him the air flight that I was going on. You got it. And so it's called conspiracy. And as they, as he's about ready, he says, I'm going to have to handcuff you and take you downstairs. I look around the corner, and there's Steve in full uniform. Yeah. So Steve is still a good friend. His name has changed. He's now Judas to me. He's Judas. And I'm not sure he'll get to heaven or not, but I haven't completely forgiven him. I will get even. And that's exciting. No, I love him. That was a hoot. Man, they caught me. Can you imagine two elders traveling with me? And they're going, what kind of a pastor do we have that's getting interrogated and going to be locked up? And, you know, and, okay. Turn to the next person next to you and say, who cares? That's your challenge. Okay, all right. What's takeaway? Let me give you three takeaways to kind of think through this and apply it to your life and the challenges you face today. Number one, don't delay. You're facing a challenge in your life, your marriage, your family, your health. Don't delay. The danger is we want to say what? You know what? I know my wife and I aren't getting along, and next month we're going to sit down and talk about this. Don't do that. You better talk about it today. Or you say, you know what? I think I need to lose some weight, and boy, my New Year's resolution is, you know, no, you need to start now. You having a health issue, you having a relational issue, don't delay. If you're facing a challenge, get right after it. Secondly, don't be discouraged. Face up to your fears. Again, we said 90% of people that failed not because they were defeated, they failed because they simply quit and threw in the towel. And some of you, I know, are struggling in your marriage relationship, and you're talking to the wrong people that are telling you the single life is a riot, you need to walk away from your spouse, and I'm going to tell you that's a lie. You need to hang in there and work through it, and God will bless you and help you in every way. Thirdly, don't go it alone. Don't go it alone. God did not create us to go through life alone. Who do you have as your partner, your encourager, your mentor? Who do you have as your prayer partner? Who do you have as that person that holds you accountable and encourages you when you're facing challenges? Who's that person in your neighborhood group that says, you call me day or night, I'm there for you? We all face challenges, and I want you to understand today that the challenge you might be facing, you think is overwhelming. That's probably what Joshua felt as well. But God said, Joshua, I was with Moses, I'm with you, and I want to tell you, he's with you today too. Let him be a part of your challenge, and he'll lead you to victory. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for today. We acknowledge that sometimes we try to go it alone because we're stubborn. And we think, God, that even though you made us and you love us and you know us, that we still think we know more than you do. Or we think that why should we bother you with the little stuff? Because you have to worry about the sun and the moon and oxygen. And yet the scripture says, you know, the hairs on our head are numbered, so you're concerned about every detail of our life. Today, for the challenges that we've come here with, that maybe have been dragging us down and overwhelming us, I pray today that we would leave with confidence, with hope, with encouragement and victory, knowing that every problem, every challenge, every struggle that we have, it's not too big for God. And God wants to partner with us to give us victory. And so, Lord, we're going to turn it over to you. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for believing in us. In your name we pray. Amen. As we said earlier in our service, what we're trying to do in this series on biblical heroes is there's different everyday modern heroes from our culture that we are trying to honor. And today we are trying to honor the law enforcement men and women from our community that protect us, that give us safety day in and day out, that put their lives on the line. And so I'm going to ask us to recognize two groups. Remain seated, if you will. If these are the officers, uniformed officers that protect our campus every weekend. Also, if you're in our service today and you're a law enforcement officer, man or woman, and your family, would you please stand that we could honor you today along with these officers? Would you please stand? Awesome. We had more than 100 officers in our service last night alone. And these police officers here from Peoria, may God bless you. If you see me come by too quick on a CCB sticker, would you grant me your... Oh, no, it's easy now. Easy. I know what you're thinking. All right, that is awesome. We're glad to have you guys. Okay, go out and get to work. All right, go. All right, super. We're glad to have you. Safety is huge. Oh yeah, you don't want a ticket either. Yeah. No, those guys are great. Safety is very important to us. For your kids, we spend over $100,000 a year on background checks alone for anybody working with our children to make sure you're protected. So that is huge to us, and we want this to be a safe environment. So everything that's done, and we have so many volunteers helping, it's incredible. Look inside of your program, and you'll see a neighborhood group sheet. Incredible things are happening in our neighborhoods. If you're not a part of it, you're missing out. Every week, I get emails of life change. If you want your life to change, you want your marriage to change, you want your family to change, I want to encourage you to get involved in our neighborhood ministry. It is incredible. God is doing great things. And so you see, we have an opportunity when you leave today to go out there and sign up in your area. If you're not sure where it is, you go to the neighborhood table and they'll take you there. But incredible life change is happening. We're getting connected to community and it is awesome. Would all of you please stand? One addition we have this week, if you go out in the grill area, we have burgers and dogs being cooked out there. You're seeing 4 TVs set up there. We're showing Christian television during this weekend. No, we're sowing football. Okay, I'll tell it like it is, all right? It's football. And so if you want to go out there, spend some time with your family and worship, okay, you could do that as well, all right? That's supposed to be humor, kind of like... Okay, all right. Okay, there you go. All right. Anyway, all right. Last thing, here's what I want you to do. Last thing, if you're in a group, I want you, as we get ready to leave, I want you to turn to people next to you and just say, hey, are you in a group? And they might say to you, it's none of your business. Leave me alone. But anyway, because there's a lot of people in the group, so simply, everybody, stadium seating everywhere, just before you leave, if you're in a group, turn to somebody and say, hey, are you in a group? And tell them about the excitement in your group and encourage them to go out and be involved in life change. Are you ready? Ask, are you in a group? Go for it.